Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Thanks for tuning in to the Money Tree Podcast, your source for investing and money matters. I'm your host, Andrea Trevelyan from TakeASmartStep.com. Today's guest is Niels Kastrup Larsen. He is the Managing Director of Dunn Capital Europe. Prior to joining Dunn, Niels was Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Rowe Asset Management AG in Switzerland, which he co-founded. Niels started his career in the financial sector in 1985. His passion for being part of the commodity trading advisor community dates back to 1990 when he co-founded an independent investments management company specializing in managed futures. Since then, he has held several senior positions for some of the world's leading CTAs. He worked as a senior manager at GNI Fund Management Limited. He then joined Chesapeake and was a managing director, heading up their European business development efforts. He also worked as CEO and CFO of Beach Capital Management, which he co-founded. Niels is the founder and host of the world's leading podcast within the hedge fund and CTA community, TopTradersUnplugged.com. Thanks for joining us today, Niels.
Andrea, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me. Fantastic.
Well, today we are getting into the topic of trend following. So can you explain for our audience what trend following is?
Sure, absolutely. Let me give it a try. Trend following is a trading strategy, which for the most part, I would say, is based on specific rules. Rules that you develop in order to not, as many people try, to buy low and sell high. In fact, trend followers often do the very opposite. They buy when the price of a market goes up and they sell when the price of the market goes down because they expect that this price move could turn into a trend that consists for a long enough period that they can extract some kind of profit from it. So let me give you an example. We saw recently, say 6 months ago, that oil was hanging around sort of the $90 to $110 for quite a while. But then suddenly the market started to break below $90. And actually that turned out to be the beginning of what we would define as a trend. And the market continued to move all the way down to about $45 per barrel. So in a sense, this is the kind of trends that trend followers will be looking for, but not just in one market. They will be looking for these events to occur in a number of markets, not necessarily many at the same time. You do get that in years of potential crises and so on and so forth. But on an average year, maybe there's only, you know, 5 to 10 markets that really develop a large enough trend where you can make enough money, so to speak, to also pay for all the trends that don't materialize and where you end up with small losses. So that's really what trend followers are trying to do, meaning trying to find, you could say, the meat of the move between, you know, point A to point B, where we know that markets from time to time will take some kind of directional move. I hope
it
that
does.
Makes sense.
Question on that. Are you mainly looking at kind of the macro markets, like you said, oil and the stock market, or are you also going down into the micro level and looking at individual stocks and the smaller components?
Sure. Let me explain that in sort of taking a historical step back. I would say that most trend followers probably grew up trading the main market. So they would trade stocks via stock indices. They would trade bond futures. And I should say that actually trend followers predominantly trade in the futures markets. That's perhaps an important point to make because of historic reasons. But actually, the concept of trend following can really be applied to any asset class. So whether it's commodities, currencies, interest rates, it doesn't really matter. And in fact, because trend following as a strategy, we're not trying to predict what's going to happen. In fact, we proclaim our ignorance about the future. In fact, we're just saying when the market starts moving, all we need to do is to focus on the price and follow the market once it starts breaking out of some kind of consolidation or range. But in the latter years, I would say it has become more and more often that you meet people who apply trend following methodology to ETFs and to single stocks as well. So there really is quite a lot of room for anyone to apply it to whatever they trade. And in many ways, it's a method that tries to take the emotions out of trading. I mean, trading and investing is a very emotional thing. And I guess the best example I could give is that often when you meet an analyst or someone who recommends, equities or whatever it might be on behalf of a bank or an asset manager, what they will often do is they will say, okay, let's go and study the accounts of Apple. And they study everything they can get their hands on, and they might even go to some of their events, and they will do everything they can to really get to know Apple. And then at the end of it, they will come to a conclusion, is this a buy or is this a sell or should it be neutral? Let's just say, for example, that they end up saying, well, this is a great stock and we're going to recommend it. It's a buy. We feel we know everything about it and we love the company and we're sure the stock is going to go up. So they come out with this buy recommendation. But what happens if the stock price, regardless of all these great set of accounts or whatever it might be, doesn't go up, but actually it starts going down? The problem you often have, and this is not to be super critical, but a little bit critical to the media in general, that the people who come on board and say, well, you should buy this or you should sell this, it's very rare that they will also tell you when you're wrong. So with trend following, that's really a very key component of trend following. That is always knowing when you're wrong. So unlike the analyst who, if the stock price of Apple starts going down, probably would say to himself, oh, now it's even cheaper, I should buy more, and they keep buying and the stock continues to go down. At some point, they may actually end up in a situation where they've lost a significant amount of money. What trend followers do when they analyze the price of a stock, we can use the same example as Apple. Well, if Apple a buy signal, as an example, at a price of 100, most trend followers will at the same time as enter to that trade also know exactly when that trade is no longer valid. So they might have what's called a stop loss at, say, 95. So they know if the price starts moving against them that it's not about whether they've done their analysis right or wrong. It's actually about what does the price of the stock actually do, regardless of what I think. And if it takes the market down to 95, they will simply exit the trade and take a small loss and wait for a new signal to emerge and follow that. So trend following is about discipline. It's about, unemotional trading, if I can put it that. It's about following some simple rules. They could be more complicated, but simple is usually almost as good as. And it's about managing the downside, minimizing the risk. But on the other hand, all the winning trades that they have on board. So if, for example, we go back to the Apple example, if the price of the stock indeed starts to move up, they will simply let that price run as far as it possibly can to get as much of the trend as a profit, essentially. So that's really, cutting your losing trades and letting your winners run. That's really the core of trend following.
Great. How is this different than somebody who is using technical analysis?
Well, some people actually think the trend following is a part of technical analysis. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think technical analysis is a little bit too subjective, meaning not that I'm an expert in technical analysis, but often you hear of, say, technical analysis like Elliott Wave. Some people will be familiar with this, at least, where you have to count certain patterns in the markets. And with a methodology like that, it's quantified, meaning that these patterns can often be interpreted in a very subjective way, and that often lead that you get your analysis completely wrong. And again, there may not be any stop loss built into the analysis itself. So I think that trend following is very objective once you've decided what rules to use. And let me give you an example. When I say rules, it might sound complicated, but it may not be. I mean, you could use a simple rule saying, if the market price breaks above the highest level it's been in the last 30 days, I'm going to buy it because it's likely to go higher. Or conversely, you could say, if the market starts breaking down below the lowest price of the last 30 days, then I think that the market will continue lower and I'm going to sell it. I'm going to go short. I mean, that's just a rule and it's very simple. And you can then build upon that with some what we call money management rule, meaning really how much risk will I take? So you could say to yourself, if I get a buy signal or a sell signal, I'm willing to risk 0.5% of my portfolio in one opportunity, because I think that's the other thing that is important about trend following. It's about diversification and spreading your risk across many different markets and sometimes also many different types of entry points and exit points. So very often people who apply trend following, they end up using, you know, computer software to help manage these calculations. It's a little bit like going on an airplane. People often, you know, when they hear traders talk about how computers help them decide what to do, trend followers is not really using computers to decide what to do. They already decide what they want to do, but they use computers to implement it. Similar to if you go on a plane and you, you know, the pilots essentially are there to watch the autopilot. So the autopilot gets told where to fly to, but the pilots, of course, will always look and make sure that everything is right. And that's the same with these type of strategies. You often use a computer to do the groundwork for you, all the calculations, but of course you're always going to have to watch the output and make sure that the entry point and the exit points make sense.
All right, so how do you go about picking out your rules that decide if there's a trend or not?
Sure. I think this is where probably most people end up not using trend following, because it's hard work. And, you know, and it's obviously easy just to turn on the television. Someone comes on and say, oh, I think Apple is a buy. And then some people think it's easier just to follow people like that. But if you really want to get into it, and if you really care about your investing, you obviously need to do your homework. And I think trend following falls into that. So it's a lot about, you know, I would say initially to read up. There's plenty of good literature about trend following and how these systems work and the basic concepts and rules. So I would start out by really reading up and studying on that and get a sense of what it really means. And once you get to that stage, then I think it's about a little bit about trial and terror, meaning you have to try it out and see how it works, whether you want you know, one rule over the other, how much to risk and so on and so forth. And again, there are plenty of guidelines that will tell you what, you know, the common trend follower would use. But I think you have to do your own, you know, analysis and you know, obviously it helps if you have some, you don't need to be a programmer as such, but I think you do need to have some reasonable good skills with basic math and ideally, you know, an Excel spreadsheet and so on and so forth. So I think that's the way you have to go about it.
Okay, so the one thing that just keeps popping back into my mind is how long you're holding a position. Is there an average time frame? Is it high frequency trading? Or, you know, sometimes markets get into a giant bull, you know, run. So like, how long is the average time that you're holding a position?
Sure. I mean, that's a great question, Andrea. And I think that's really, you know, up to your personality. Now, historically, trend followers were always people who tended to be what you would call medium to long term. So what does that really mean? It means if you're a medium trend follower, you probably on average hold your winning positions at least 3 months. Now, if you're a long term trend follower, I have seen people who on average will hold their winning trades for more than a year. So it really depends on how you want to trade. Of course, you could also be short term. I mean, there are trends, you could say, on all time frames. This is the beauty of trend following. It's not one sort of one box fits all. It's really something that you can find anywhere. So even if a market just moves intraday from, you know, $1 to $1.10, you could define that as a trend, and you can develop systems that will identify these opportunities and will hopefully profit from them. And so if you look at firms who are trend followers by definition, you will find firms in all categories. I would say it's probably harder in the short-term space. That requires a bit more computer power and skill because it moves much faster. But long-term trend followers, I mean, you mentioned very kindly that I run my own podcast, the Top Traders on Block.com podcast. And on that, there are plenty of interviews with trend followers. And one of them, actually, they don't run their system other than once a week. So that instead of looking at the daily open, high, low, close of a market, they look at the weekly open, high, low, close because they don't want to trade very much. And so I think you can take trend following as a concept and you can really turn it into what fits you as a person, both on the risk side, how much volatility, how much losses can you withstand without getting nervous and close your positions at the wrong time. And also how much time do you want to spend on it? I think you can actually probably do it once a week if you put your mind to it. But most people look on a daily basis on these things. And I think predominantly, I would say today, still trend following is about the medium term time frame.
So really kind of going back to the last question I asked about, you know, how do you determine if there's a trend?
Sure.
It really also depends on you as a trader. And like you said, do you want to be there daily, weekly, monthly, yearly? And that will kind of guide you to pick out which rules you want to establish.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I obviously don't know, you know, how much people know about sort of different technical parameters when it comes to that. But I would say there are two overriding ways of determining a trend. One is, as I mentioned before, if you look at some kind of price channel of a market. So you look at, you know, what's the highest price been in over a certain period of time and what's the lowest price been in over a certain period of time. And you can basically use that as what we would define as a price channel breakout system. So when it breaks out to the upside, you enter into a long position. When it breaks down to the downside, you enter a short position. That would be one way of doing it. Other people combine different types of moving averages to essentially give them an indication of whether the trend is up or down. But you would probably need to combine a number of different moving averages to diversify your risk a bit and your position size and so on and so forth. And I would say, and this is obviously not the forum to go into that level of detail, but one of the secrets of trend following and why it's been so successful over the last 4 or 5 decades, and it really has been, regardless of what people say, it has been one of the most profitable ways of trading, you know, ever. And one of the secrets, in my opinion, about that is really the way trend followers size their position. And often what they do is they want to take the same amount of risk in all markets, but they want to adjust for the volatility of the individual market. So that means that if you trade a market that has twice the volatility of another, you need to trade half the number of contracts, for example. Mm-hmm. So you want to essentially have the same dollar risk in the market at all times, so you don't end up with a concentrated position inadvertently because you thought, if I buy 10 S&P contracts, that must be the same as 10, you know, T-bond contracts.
Right.
It isn't. Yeah. It isn't. So it's, and the same for individual stocks. I mean, some stocks are obviously much more stable. Take Microsoft compared to, you know, and Amazon, just to pick two different stocks. So very, very important is how you manage your position size. And the other thing I would say, very important is to make sure you always have a stop loss so you know when you're wrong, and whatever you thought would happen, if it doesn't happen, get out and wait for the next opportunity. There will be plenty of them.
Well, you mentioned volatile markets. Let's kind of narrow in on some of the volatile market stuff. How do you know, and I know you set up the rules, but when you do have a volatile market, like we've had recently, that it's, you know, down 200, up 200, you know, like these giant swings, how does a trend follower deal with a really unstable market?
Sure. So there are really two ways you can do it. The simplest way would be to say, okay, if I get a buy signal in the S&P at, say, 2000, at that time, you can determine exactly how much you're willing to risk. Meaning, if you know where your stop loss is, let's take an example, you're willing to lose 100 S&P points. So you know your stop loss is going to be at 1900 if you're wrong. And so when you calculate the difference between the entry price and the stop price, then you can also work out how much am I going to lose for each contract that I trade. And that will give you then the total risk you're willing to take, meaning if you want to trade 10 contracts, then you know that you're potentially is going to lose so much. And so some trend followers will say, okay, that's good enough for me. I know what my risk is at the entry point, and therefore I don't worry about whether the market is becoming more volatile or less volatile. As long as the market moves up, or at least it doesn't go down and hit 1900, which is my stop loss, I will keep the same position size all along. So that's one way of doing it, the simple way. The more complicated way, which is adopted by many trend followers, is that they sample the volatility of the market on a daily basis. And then they might have some kind of rule saying, okay, we want to have a certain level of volatility exposure. So if volatility goes up, we reduce our position size. If volatility goes down, we increase our position size. Now, that's a little bit more complicated, and I wouldn't recommend that for the beginning trend follower, so to speak. Just keep it simple. Simplicity works well, and it works particularly well in trend following, as long as you follow some basic rules, so you're not getting overexposed in any one market or any one opportunity.
All right, so I think we've danced around this question, so I want to get it out there. When the markets are going down, like everything, like oil just crashed, it was going down. At that point, would a trend follower just get out, or would they go short positions? What does a trend follower do when the market is going nothing but down?
Sure. So a trend follower, as a basic concept, believes in diversification. So I mentioned in terms of entry rules and exit rules, in terms of markets traded, but also trend followers are usually agnostic to whether the market is going up or down, because we don't care. First of all, we don't know why it's moving. We don't spend too much time analyzing why it happens, because we're more interested in the fact that it is happening. So yes, I would say probably most trend followers today would adopt both long and short trades. Now, I have seen, and there is some merit to it, I have seen some people who say, I'm only going to take the long trade. So every time I get a signal to sell, I'm just going to go flat. I'm not going to take that short trade. And there is some validation to that, because if you look at a traditional, very simple trend following system, then over time, and I mean 10, 20, 30 years, most of the profits would normally come from long-sided trades. And that could be because, for example, bonds have been moving up for the last 30 years, more or less nonstop, with a bit of volatility along the way, of course. Commodities has a natural tendency to move up, even though oil is an example that they don't always do so. So there is some merit to it, and you can obviously define, again, as a human being, what kind of investor am I, and how do I want to participate in that? But I think the general rule is often that people will say there is equal opportunity to the downside as there is to the upside, as oil just proved, and therefore we should take both sides of the trades.
Right. Well, it seems to me that the biggest benefit of trend following is cutting your losses. And losses are what really hurt you, because you have to basically double your money to get back to even. So are there any other really big benefits to using trend following?
I would say the other benefit to cutting your losses is really letting your winners run. I mean, how many times have we heard that interest rates can't go any lower and bond prices can't go any higher? And yet that has been the most profitable trade for most trend followers in the last 2 years.
Yep.
So it's about discipline on both sides of the coin, making sure you take your losses quickly, but also making sure you let your winners run. That is, you know, we as human beings are not conditioned to do this. Our cognitive bias is the complete opposite, because most of us, if I can use a technical term, are convergent risk takers. Convergent risk takers are people who want to be right, meaning so when they do take a decision, they believe they know all the risks there is to that decision. And also then, if they are right, at least initially, they're also very quick to take the profit because it feels good. Now, trend followers don't have any feelings because they do as human beings, but once they put the rules into the computer doesn't have any feeling. So we are what's called divergent risk takers, meaning we take many small opportunities, a little bit like venture capital, if I can make that analogy. Venture capitalists, they have no idea which one is going to be the next Facebook or Twitter. So they put a lot of small investments in new starting companies, and they hope that one or two of them will do well, but they also realize that eight of them, you know, will probably lose the money. So that's the opposite of what you could say private equity people are doing, where they often analyze to death one or two companies, and then they put a big chunk of their capital into that business. So, you know, that's an important distinction to do as well.
Excellent. Well, if I was going to start trend following, you mentioned Excel. Is there any other thing that I should be using to monitor trades and track stuff?
Well, I mean, there are obviously many systems out there that will convince you that you need this system to trade trend following. You probably don't, but clearly there are software out there, and I don't know any specific ones as such, because in my world we tend to build them ourselves.
Right.
But in, you know, Excel, if you have only a few positions, I'm sure you can easily keep track on where to enter and where to exit. You know, and I would just start very, very carefully and not overdo it. And get comfortable with anything, and certainly investments is very important to have confidence. And confidence comes from taking small steps along the way and you know, fail along the way as well and learn from it. And as you do so, then you can start becoming more sophisticated about your portfolio, the size of the portfolio, and the number of rules you use. But Excel, I'm sure, is a good starting point for many people.
Excellent. And then also, if I wanted to get started, are there any really good introductory books or resources that can kind of help me figure out which rules to follow?
Yes. I mean, again, lots of people have written books. I wouldn't say lots, but there are some people who have written books about trend following, and they will all claim that it's the holy grail and all of that. So people have to generally be skeptical. But I'll give you two resources
Okay.
that I think is a good start. On the book side, I would recommend one of my friends here based in Switzerland. He's called Andreas Klino, and he's written a book called Following the Trend. And I think that's a pretty good book to start with, because it explains the basics, but it actually also deconstructs the rules of systems that seem very similar to some of the most successful managers in the world. It's not to say that it's easy to do, but it's a good starting point if you want to find out a little bit about what kind of rules are we talking about, what kind of risk management are we talking about. So I think Andreas did an excellent job in writing this book. But there are also other trend following books out there for sure. But I will be selfish and give you one of my own resources, which is completely free. So I'm not mentioning it for any profitable benefit. But on my website, toptradersunplugged.com, in the resource section, there is actually something called the Daily Trend Barometer, and that's something called the Daily Market Score. And here you can actually see the output of trend following models what they position themselves in at the moment. So I think it lists about, you know, 40 to 45 different markets. And you can actually see both whether, you know, a classical trend following system would be long or short in the market. But you can also see from at least, you know, my point of view, how strong the trend in those markets are. So if you have a market that is long with a trend score of 100, it just means that, you know, the trend is up and it looks like it's still pretty strong. And if you have a trend strength of, you know, less than 50, then I would say it's probably not super strong. And it's just a guide. It's not a system that you can trade as such. But if people are interested in figuring out whether their own analysis is somewhat on par with what trend followers tend to do, well, they can look it up on a daily basis, free of charge, and see what the trend strength and the trend score is for today.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today and all the information. You mentioned your website. Is there anywhere else people can find you if they want to know more about you and your show?
They are, of course, more than welcome to come and take a look at the website and listen to some of the conversations. I'm not, you know, it is the stories of these people that is interesting. I'm just a guide to help them tell their story. And I'm sure people will find lots of inspiration and motivation from listening to some of these people. People are very welcome to follow me on Twitter at Top Traders Live. And I'm on some of the other social media. But I think the website is a good starting point.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time.
Andrea, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now we're going to move on to the panel discussion. This week, we have Miranda Marquit from Planting Money Seeds, Joe Salcihi from Stacking Benjamin, and Andrew Sather from eInvesting for Beginners. So Neil's had a very interesting approach to investing with trend following. And I want to start out the entire discussion on just kind of getting everybody's feel for what they think about trend following. So let's start with Joe. Joe, what do you think about it?
Oh, I absolutely love it. I mean, I think whether you're an investor or a business owner, you have to know kind of where the ball's headed or you know, what was it? Wayne Gretzky said where the puck is headed. You have to know that because too many people get attached to trends that are going away. And I think that's a sheer way to lose money, whether it's in investing in a single business or in a stock.
So you're not still buying leggings? That trend's over for you?
Yeah. No, I'm all about the hoop skirt craze and hula hoops. Hula hoops are coming back.
So do you do any trend following, Joe?
You know, only four Stacking Benjamins I do. In my own personal portfolio, I don't because it's so broad. Okay. I guess a little bit in the playpen, but not in the way our guest this week's talking about.
Okay. Andrew, what's your take on trend following?
I have mixed feelings about it. So to reinforce what Joe said, you know, you don't want to fight the tape. And a lot of times these momentum things and these trends that take off, they might go for a lot longer than you'd expect. I think another quote I've heard was I can't remember who the investor was. It was a famous investor. He said, things go much lower than you expect and much higher than you expect. And so a lot of these trends do form for a very long time. And if you just can ride them for even just the majority of the trend, you don't have to be there right at the beginning or right at the end. You can just hit most of these trends and do very well for yourself. The problem I have with trend following is when you start to get into we kind of talked about this last week with the whole investing versus speculating, but when you start to look at the market as not so much as businesses, but you start to look at how can I make a profit from a trend, and you can start trading currencies, Forex, commodities, all these different things. And when you get to a frequency where you're trading in and out of so many things, it's hard to make great returns over the long term, especially if you have the kind of philosophy I have where I'm kind of more of a patient, long-term, collect dividends, compound in that way. So I do think there's a way to be successful with trend following. I think Neil's had a lot of great things to say, and there is some great things you can do with trend following, but you have to be careful and make sure if you're going to go all in on trend following, don't skip over any different steps, because a lot of the things he talks about too, like risk management, diversification, those things are essential if you want to be successful in trend following. So for me personally, I like to take aspects of trend following, use that in my own strategies, and kind of take the good from what I can.
Miranda?
Yeah, I agree with Andrew and Joe. Really, when you get down to it, it's just hard to get excited about the trend following, because once again, we hear that famous line, past performance doesn't guarantee future results. And so when you're looking at the trend, too often you're relying on this past performance and saying, well, here's what it did in the past, and here's what it's doing now, and now we're going to try and extrapolate that into the future. And while it can work to some degree, the problem is that every now and again, and quite often, the market will do something that surprises you or do something at a time that you're not expecting. And so it's really hard to get excited about relying on trend following in those circumstances.
Okay. Continuing on with the trend following, it's kind of like following the herd. The masses get excited about, you know, oh, the market's going up, I got to jump in and catch my share. So I want to kind of talk about how the market is kind of just this pack herd mentality. And if you're using trend following, how do you think you would differentiate between, you know, we're at the top of this bubble or versus this is just kind of this is a good trend to be on, Joe?
Well, I look for a couple things. If I've got a trend going a certain way, I get really afraid of following the stocks that have very high momentum numbers, even though studies have shown that those stocks do really well over time. But man, I always feel like I'm buying so high, and it's a real psychological barrier for me. So what I actually do is I look to see, are there any laggards that for maybe they had some short-term business results that weren't following the trend, but they will pick up. So I'll look at the trend first, and then I'll look for laggards, and then I'll try to find out the reason why they're not following the trend. And most companies aren't following the trend for a good reason, because they stink. but there are some companies that just happen to have some, you know, short-term hiccups that made it that they, you know, that things were going that well. So then I'll use some short-term trend stuff like the stochastic, you know, and I will then maybe trade on the stochastic.
Miranda?
Yeah, so I think if I was going to do the trend following thing, man, just the thought of it really kind of makes my stomach clench up and make me feel sick. Honestly, I don't have enough confidence to be like, yes, this is where I draw the line.
It's aggressive, isn't it, Miranda?
What?
I mean, it's pretty aggressive, isn't it?
It can be, yeah. So, and I'm not. And so, but I think one of the things you have to watch out for is by the time it's like news and by the time everybody's talking about it, it's too late for you. I that's just the thing, is you have to be watching the trends before it hits the news. If you're getting all of your information from the financial press and, you know, from the CNBCs of the world, it's going to be too late. By the time they're reporting on this great find and this great trend, you're done. Everybody's in, and now it's reaching bubble proportions, if that makes sense. I don't know. I just I recently talked with William Bernstein, the author, the asset allocation author guy. That's really bad. Anyway, by recent Four Pillars of Investing, but I recently talked to him, and he was saying that when you're looking at things like this, you have to remember that when you're trading individual stocks, individual items, there's somebody on the other side of that trade when you're buying and selling. And the person on the other side of the trade probably spends more time than you working on this stuff. They work 70 hours a week, and they're insiders, and you're not going to win against them. And so just talking to him made me even more wary of trend following. So,
but maybe that's why, Miranda, I think on that point, I think that's part of the reason I bargain bin shop too, is because of the fact that I think that if I know about the trend, I live in Texarkana, Texas, and and by the time the trend gets to me, probably
it's through carrier mail.
That's why you're still wearing leggings.
Once the pigeon reaches my house, I'm fairly certain everybody else heard about it.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is by the time it's common knowledge, and now it's getting ready for its downward trend.
But don't you think,
sorry, go ahead.
Don't you think I think that's kind of what he was saying. That's part of what trend following is, because there's so many people that are late to the party that you can still make money doing it, even though Joe knows about it.
Right. As long as you're ready to pull out. Oh dear. As long as you're ready to be done with it and not hang on and try and run your profits more than need be, then it can make sense.
So if I can jump in on this point, like when you have a trend following. Not trend following, but when you have a trend forming like this, so there's just as much of a chance that the trend's going to stop as it is going to continue. The reason why trend following is able to capitalize on this is because they put trailing stops in place. So you really can't predict which trend's going to continue strongly and which one's not. And if you look at the odds, most likely the trend's not going to continue for exactly the reasons you guys all said, because everybody's heard about it. But there is always that trend that continues. And so if you catch the trend that continues, then that single trend will pay for all the other trends that you miss. And so that's why position sizing is so key in trend following. And they put the trailing stop losses on there so you can cut your losers short and let your winners run. So that's why, again, you have to be strict and you have to follow it exactly, because if you're not hitting that trend that continues for a very long time, then you have no way to pay for the other losers. It's kind of like a loss leader strategy where you take a bunch of small losses to also hit the big winner. So I think that's a big part of the trend following strategy.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Well, based on what you said, Andrew, because you just said a bunch of things about, you know, stop loss, all that stuff. So would you consider trend following actually kind of a subcategory of technical analysis?
I think technically it is technical analysis, but it's like if someone's to say, I do trend following, you wouldn't say technical analysis. Like when I think of technical analysis, I think of like candlesticks and, you know, all these different charting things. I think trend following does utilize some of that, but the heart behind trend following is a little bit different. It's a tough question because, it's a very kind of gray thing. And I think trend following doesn't really have a big following online. There are some resources that have popped up lately, but in the great span of things of where trend following has been as a strategy for investing, it hasn't really hit the mainstream yet. And so when you turn on CNBC and you see these charts and you see the Fibonacci numbers and all these different technical indicators, that's technical analysis, but that's not necessarily trend following. But you can call trend following technical analysis, if that makes sense.
Because when I was talking to Niels, he was very adamant that trend following is not part of technical analysis. But I look at it, I'm like, okay, well, you're picking a measurement, some sort of statistic, and that number is driving your purchasing decision. Now, I am not absolutely anywhere near a technical analysis expert, but to me, it's just kind of a subcategory because you are still using statistics. You're not... going back to our speculating conversation, it's not going, oh, the market's going up, this stock is taking off, so I'm just going to jump in here and jump out there. So, Joe, what's your thoughts?
I do technical analysis closer to the bottom of the funnel, where I'm looking at, do I want to buy, is this a position that I want to buy right now? I look at more toward trend following is closer to the top of the funnel. you know, what are the overall trends? What's going on in the marketplace? What are the numbers for this sector? And then does it pass that funnel? I still have a lot more work to do after I get through with trend following. So I would say that it's, I mean, I think it's kind of semantics, but I think it's not technical analysis.
Okay. So you're saying it's more of a tool to filter in some stocks, and then you go on and use other tools to decide That's which right. of those trend followings you're actually going to do.
That's right. Yep. Are these ones going with the tape or against the tape? And if they check all the trend following boxes, then I'm more likely to buy.
Okay. Miranda?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Joe from that standpoint, where trend following to me seems like it has this element of fundamental analysis in it, where you're looking kind of at the bigger picture to some degree and trying to figure out why. With straight technical analysis, it's all in the charts. You're just looking at the charts and you're looking at the performance and the numbers and trying to find a pattern. And so I kind of tend to agree with Joe a little bit more on this one.
Okay. A final question here. We can kind of sum it all up or go off on a tangent here. Do you consider trend following to be speculating? Miranda?
I wouldn't call it straight speculating, because I think if you're doing it properly, and like we said, if you've got some of that risk stuff to kind of hedge your bets a little bit, if you're doing the research and you're staying on top of things and you're saying, okay, now it's starting to reach bubble proportions, now is the time for me to get out. Or if you have those trailing stops, if you're ready for it, it doesn't necessarily have to be speculation. But once again, if you're just going in and saying, hey, this is doing really great, and this is what's, you know, this is what's trending, and I'm going to follow it, then yeah, it becomes speculation if you're not doing your homework.
Andrew?
So I would say, I think it is speculation, but it's organized speculation to the point where it will make you money if you do it right. So I think there's a lot of great things about trend following. I borrow some things from the strategy myself. I think trailing stops are a fantastic way to mitigate your risk and also let your winners run. I think for anyone who wants to invest, beginner, novice, or expert, I think a trailing stop is a great thing to have. And it just gives you this peace of mind where you know, okay, if the stock takes off, I'm going to be happy. If the stock crashes, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be out. And then it allows your funds to be available. That way you can find more value the next month you want to reinvest. So to answer your question, I think it is speculation, especially if you don't know what you're doing. But I think it's speculation that can make you a lot of money.
Do you think it's more of a short-term investing strategy than necessarily a long-term strategy?
I'd say like technical analysis is really short-term, but to give trend following some credit, there's some trend followers that I know that I'm friends with who actually trade on very long-term trends. They might be in a position for 1, 2, 3 years, and you know, in Wall Street, that's a long time. So mm-hmm. A lot of it depends on the strategies. I think the trend following strategies that focus on the small term, maybe making hundreds of trades a month, those definitely, you know, I don't see a lot of I think those can get you in a lot of trouble, let's put it that way. But I think you can do long term trend following. You can do it the right way. Again, make sure you're well educated on it.
Joe, your thoughts?
Well, I was thinking when Andrew says that 3 years is a long time in Wall Street, I think Wall Street thinks 20 minutes is a long time. That was my first thought. But my second was that I definitely agree with what both Miranda and Andrew said. And I just want to reiterate this idea of trailing stop losses, because I've known a lot of people who say, well, I'm not going to use a trailing stop loss. I'm going to use my gut, and I'm going to decide when we're in this bubble territory and when the trend's going to reverse, and I'll get out on my own. You got to have that system, because I'll tell you what was interesting was that if you didn't have a system that automatically got you out when the trend reversed, what would happen is if you missed that, your brain comes up with all these great reasons why it's going to come back. Right. And so if you're trusting your brain to decide when to pull the trigger, your ego gets in the way. Your ego says, I am not wrong. This baby's coming back. And then it doesn't, and you get further and further into trouble. And what's cool is that whenever we put trailing stop losses into place, my client would make completely different decisions if the trailing stop hit, and then, you know, then they were free to get back in. So if it kept going down, I'd say to my client, I'd say, well, you know what? You have avoided tons of losses. If you love this position like you used to, you can get back in now. And it's funny because the same person that would have stayed in had they never gotten out and trusted their gut will go, nah, I don't think I'm going back there.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, and I think that speaks a lot to what we were talking about last week when we were talking about systems and putting systems in place. One of the things that I think is really important if you're going to get into trend trend following or even technical analysis is you have to have a system. You have to have set rules and a system of this is when I get in and this is when I get out. Mm-hmm. And you have to have those levels set because otherwise, like Joe was saying, your emotions get too much in the way. And when you're flying by the seat of your pants like that, then you're likely to miss something. And having a system and an automated way of saying this triggers a sale or this, you know, this is an alert that I need to buy, that can help you sort of mitigate a little bit of that risk.
Yeah, winging it is fun when I'm bowling. It's not fun with my money.
Sometimes.
It can be a lot of fun with your money and till you lose.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like Vegas, right? It's a lot of fun until you tote up your losses.
Until it doesn't go the way you'd hoped, right?
Well, what I just learned is don't be in the lane next to Joe as he's throwing his bowling ball.
It is so dangerous. Well, it is there if you want me to apologize to you.
Well, I think another really good point with the trailing loss that a lot of people just kind of totally skip over is, yes, it makes you think and it's less emotional, but going on the fact that, you know, you don't know what the stock market's going to do. What happens if you're on vacation? What happens if you're at a doctor's point? What if the trend reverses and reverses quickly while you are not anywhere near a computer?
Right.
So.
That's a bad day.
That is a bad day.
I want to thank everybody for joining us today. It's been a really great conversation. If you do want the links to any of those resources that we mentioned in today's episode, you can find those over on our website at moneytreepodcast.com. I'd also like to take a moment and ask that if you're enjoying our show, we would really appreciate it if you could help us out by leaving a rating and review over on iTunes. iTunes helps people find our show through good ratings. So if you like us, we would appreciate it if you would leave an honest review over there. Even if you don't like us, leave an honest review. That would be fantastic. Until next time, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.